Live 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Erin Archam. In news just in, Victoria has recorded 428 new coronavirus cases over the past day and three more deaths. The count is surging in Victoria, with the state recording triple-digit figures for the past week. New coronavirus restrictions are to be rolled out across New South Wales, with the state recording 13 new cases over the past day and a half. The Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, says the restrictions brought in for pubs would be extended to all other indoor hospitality areas, like clubs, cafes and restaurants. Weddings and corporate events have also been capped at 150 people, while funerals and places of worship can now only house 100. Ms. Berejiklian says New South Wales remains in a state of high alert, and the new rules were about reducing the risk of transmission.
The health experts have told us what the high-risk areas are, and we're responding to that. And I think it's sensible and prudent and the best way forward.
Victoria's Ombudsman is investigating the treatment of public housing residents at a tower locked down due to coronavirus. Residents of the tower in North Melbourne have been in lockdown for nearly a fortnight amid reports of a large police presence and food going undelivered. The Ombudsman will investigate the conditions of detainment, how the rules have been conveyed to residents, and how the restrictions have impacted residents' access to fresh air, exercise, medical care and supplies. The federal government will inject another $400 million for the film and television industry in a bid to entice more productions to be made in Australia. The money will be going to an existing incentive program, with the coalition saying it will support 8,000 jobs. The initiative is also expected to be part of a $3 billion program. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, told at the Nine Network this morning the program won't just spark one-off jobs. It's expected to continue for a number of years.
It's about caterers, it's about sparkies, it's about cleaners.
It's a good thing.
They're the jobs that come from these productions. And it runs out over 7 years. So this isn't just about one-offs. This is about getting repeat productions and getting those jobs and bases of jobs across our production facilities all around the country.
The Queensland government is considering legislation that would legally enshrine traditional child-rearing customs practiced by Torres Strait Islander families for generations. The legislation has been introduced to State Parliament by Cynthia Liu, the member for Cook and the first Torres Strait Islander elected to any Australian Parliament. Such laws would for the first time legally recognise sacred and enduring child-rearing practices. The custom involves birth parents permanently giving a child to cultural guardians, who are usually their extended family. The alcohol industry says proposed changes to warning labels for pregnant women would cost too much to implement, especially for smaller family-owned producers. The proposed label would be red, black and white in colour, instead of the same colour as the rest of the label. Figures show one-third of the 300,000 women who give birth each year continue to drink during pregnancy. State, Territory and New Zealand ministers will meet today to decide if the changes will be made. Medical researchers say it's a small action for the industry to make a big difference in society. In sport, a favourable draw will give Sydney FC an opportunity to virtually clinch a record fourth Premier's plate in the first game of the restarting A-League this evening. The runaway league leaders host third-placed Wellington Phoenix. A victory will make it impossible for second-placed Melbourne City to catch them.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 15.5 degrees and we're looking for a top of 17 degrees today, which we may get. It's partly cloudy, high chance of showers along the coastal fringe, slight chance in the west, and that's mostly later this afternoon or evening. The winds are currently southwesterly to 35 kilometres an hour and becoming a bit lighter to 25 kilometres an hour later in the evening. The sun will set tonight at 5:07 and be back up again at 7:02 in the morning. Looking for the weekend, Saturday mostly sunny, 8 to 18. Sunday mostly sunny, 6 to 20. Back to work week Monday, sunny, 6 to 17. And the moon is a waning crescent, and new moon next Tuesday.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Just one incident report. West Pymble Ride Road approaching Lady Game Drive. A truck breakdown, 1 of 4 southbound lanes closed. Lane 1, exercise caution and allow extra travel time. It's 5 minutes past 12. You're on a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Good morning, darling.
Good afternoon. You've tricked up today.
Yeah, I did, because I was waiting for you to bring your coffee and I was like, it's 11 o'clock, you know what I mean? I was like, oh God, it's still morning. Well, good afternoon and good evening. And I'd like to say everybody who is ready for sleep around the globe, thank you for tuning a live 90.5 Businesses with Mario. I'm glad you did it, because today we have a special guest in studio. And to our listeners, you know, just check the daily newspapers and the magazines and social media. There's a new restrictions in New South Wales from today, but doesn't concern me, because gym is open. I need to do with my my six pack here, so I still can be in the gym with a Darren. So thank you for tuning live 90.5 Businesses with Mario. You can go on our website live905.com.au, press the stream line now. You can hear the entire conversation in the studio, or you can go on the Facebook Businesses with Mario and just watch it and enjoy it. Thank you for listening. I'm good at it. I have a good voice line, huh? Yes, with me, Darren, I mean, just like, imagine if you need to show my body, you're listening alive. I'm still alive. I'm still alive.
Strike and you're out, baby. Don't care if I sound crazy, but you never let me down. No, no. That's why when the sun's up, I'm staying. Still laying in your bed, saying, ooh, 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 ooh. To know you better, kinda hope we're here forever. There's nobody on these streets. If you told me that the world's ending, ain't no other way that I can spend it. My time,
go on, make me lose my mind.
We got all that we need here tonight.
I like the door,
and
throw out the key. Can't fight this,
can't fight this no more.
It's just you and me, and there's nothing I'd rather do.
I'm still
Here's Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 28 Winston Hill Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153, or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes here from Durelpool Shop. I opened our shop intending to always listen, really listen, to our customers so we could fully understand and meet their pool needs. Along with that, we stocked the top brands of pool chemicals, cleaners, pumps, filters, heaters, fittings, spare parts, you name it. You'll find full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just the way you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Buses are heavy vehicles and can't stop quickly. Maintain a safe stopping distance between your vehicle and a bus in front. A 3-second gap is best. Be bus aware. A message from the New South Wales Government.
Find it hard to tune in? Jump on the internet, stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
It's 12 minutes past 12 and you're on Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
And thank you all listeners for tuning in on Live 90.5 Business with Mario. This is your radio station, your voice, and Darren and I always endeavouring to bring you the guests who are the unsung business heroes. They are not exposed in the media, they don't have the big market behind themselves, but what they have, it's a great result, enthusiasm to help all our listeners. And I'm very grateful to have today a very special guest in the studio. His name is Lance Scola. Lance, he says he's a savvy navigator. Welcome to studio, Lance.
Thanks, Mario.
Lance, you've been in this studio like 2 years ago when I didn't speak English, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean, we tried to do some stuff, you know what I mean? So, in the meantime, Danny helped me to do some speech therapy, you know what I mean? So, like, I become very, very profound, as you can hear. So, Lance, thank you for coming once again, and thank you for being our guest today and all our listeners. Who is the Lance Scholar?
So, my career started straight out of high school, 1968, so a long time ago.
That was the last century. I know.
It's almost the previous century.
I'll be all. Yes.
So, and I had options possibly going to university, but I decided that probably wasn't where I wanted to go. So I applied for a few jobs and I got a number of them all at once back in those days.
Yeah.
And I ended up working for a customs broker, Australasian Transport and Shipping Agency Company Proprietary Limited. That's a mouthful. Known as ATSA, down in Sussex Street in the city of Sydney.
So that was your export-import shipping companies, that's correct? That's what
I was saying. They were the customs broker and freight forwarder, although that term wasn't used back then.
Yeah.
But it also had a large trucking fleet.
Yeah, so we can actually disclose now in our studio because it was the last century. Was that your containers full of the, you know, the white powder?
They didn't have containers back then. The first, the next year, 1969, was when actual the first container ship. I think it was the Endeavour. OCL, I think it was Endeavour, came into through the Sydney Heads. That was the first container ship that ever came into Sydney. So,
did you say? First container was come when in Sydney?
1969.
Darren, did you know that fact?
No, because I wasn't born to 1973. But apart from that, yes. But Lance, can I take you back a step? Because I've had a bit of experience in actually bringing something into Australia without somebody else, a wholesaler, retail, and everyone else in the chain. And I understand it's quite a logistics nightmare. So can you take us through the difference of if I, say, buy, say, a fridge from Harvey Norman, for an example, or any retailer, or if I'm trying to, say, bring a fridge in from a manufacturer in China, what are the differences and why does your role exist in the world?
Yeah, why do you all exist, Lance?
Yeah, so customs brokers, freight forwarders, logistics companies, third-party logistics company, these days can be the broader spectrum. They weren't around back in 1968 in that fashion. But what a freight forwarder does is, so you wanted to buy a, let's say you wanted to buy a fridge from China. Actually, my daughter bought one from Italy. But anyway, we'll say China. Then you would obviously research where to buy that from. So you'd probably do that research on the internet to find a manufacturer, or you may go to Alibaba. Not that I've used Alibaba, but a lot of people search for things there. And then you'd have to arrange to pay for the goods. So these days it's, well, back in those early days was using banks to transfer money generally, or you probably didn't even use credit card. You could use it today. So you'd obviously have to arrange to buy the, you negotiate that. The next thing is, how are you going to get it from China to Australia? And in the case of a fridge, it's not going to go on an aircraft, to be too expensive, too big and too heavy. So the next thing is going to be on a ship. So we'll talk about today's type of situation. Then if you're going to just buy one fridge just for yourself, then you'd have to figure out to put in a container to ship it here, and that would be what's called a less than a container load, LCL. A full container, let's say you're importing, you know,
a lot of fridges, like
50 fridges, let's say, I'm not too sure how many would fit in a 20-foot container, but let's say 20 fridges, then that would be a full container load, an FCL. So in the case of an FCL, you've basically got the rights to bring that container, unload it, clear it through customs and quarantine and whatever else, pay your duties and taxes in Australia, and then be able to pick up that container or arrange to do it. So if I was your customs broker, freight forwarder, I'd be arranging all that, get it, you'd say the address you want it to, you might have a warehouse, and we'd deliver it to there, and you'd unpack that container at your own premises.
Now, would it be right to say that a lot of people, say if I'm going to take an example I've known a bit of, but say I'm a technical person in a laboratory and I go, well, I need that really whiz-bang thing and I can find that in Italy and it's going to cost me $500 and they say they can ship it for $100, I'm good. It's going to cost me $600. Is that right? Or are there lots of things that that person doesn't know?
There's lots of things to consider.
Yeah. What are they like?
Well, in the, if I go back to your fridge situation, we've talked about that.
Yep.
I love fridges, eh? You know how much
they're pretty cool.
You know how many you know how many Nutellas you can fit inside? Did you know
bodies?
That?
Okay, these fridge has bonus Nutella. But back to the question, Lance.
So there's two things, and in I've got a we might talk about it later.
What makes you think you're going to talk later?
Well, yeah, talking about the things you've got to consider. So in the case of who's going to pay for the freight to get it from China to Australia? So it's either going to be the seller or the buyer. Now, when we talk in import-export, we talk about sellers and buyers, not exporters and importers. The seller may be the Chinese producer, manufacturer of that fridge, but maybe not. You might be buying from an agent over there that have bought these fridges and are exporting them as a middle person, so to speak. The other way would be for you to pay the freight. They sell it. There's Incoterms, international commercial terms, which are put out every 10 years by the International Chamber of Commerce based in Paris, France. And so if they were... If you were buying it from them and they said, we'll pick it up from our warehouse in China, give you the address, then it'd be up to you to arrange transport in China to collect it, put it on the ship and then bring it to Australia. And you'd be responsible for paying the freight here to Australia.
So even before we've got it to Australia, the summary is it gets complicated. I know it's even more complicated once it hits the docks, say in Sydney or wherever it is, because then you've got more transport, more customs fees, more this, correct, more that, yep, more quarantine. And in summary, that's the reason for your existence, that you're going to share more with our listeners this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, it's what it is in, unusual. Like, you know, we're talking about 1968, 1973. You know, like, I personally, I can't even imagine how that was looking before.
We were just dreams back then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we were like just, you know, I mean, just knowing how the shipping, freight shipping, you know, I mean, did I say this properly? It was working there. It's unusual, you know, I mean, particularly there was no social media. You're listening live 90.5 Business with Mario. Guest in studio with us, it's Alain Scola, and we'll continue after short break. Darren and I. Current time it is, Darren. What is current?
It's 21
time?
Minutes past.
21 12. Minutes one. It's a plus 42 degrees in Sydney. No, it's not there. Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
Thought it was the end. My friend said that it's not the end of the world. I'm waiting for that feeling, but nothing ever felt quite like being yours. It's so good to see you here tonight. Better yet to see it in your eyes. You've been feeling something just like I did. Needed just a little space and time to get rid of all these alibis. Suddenly you see it in my mind, yeah. You know, I've been writing love songs since we broke up. Guess that it took losing you to make me shut up. And I know it's too soon to try again. We'll mess it up again, but it's too soon to say goodbye. How's it 3 a.m.? You've been bringing out the best in me. So familiar, but everything between us is feeling brand new. No, I didn't want to let it die. I was praying that you leave the light on. You've been feeling something just like I did. Needed just a little space and time to get rid of all these alibis. Suddenly you see it in my mind, yeah. You know, I've been writing love songs. Guess that it took losing you to make me sure enough. And I know it's too soon to try again. We'll mess it up again. It's too soon to say goodbye. I've been writing love songs since we broke up. Sometimes I think I won't last one more night without your touch. And I know it's too soon to try again. We'll mess it up again. But it's too soon.
Is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centered on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Royal Shores, developed by Pace, is a new waterfront community in Parramatta. Set right on the waterfront at the gateway to Sydney Harbour, Royal Shores is one of Pace's most unique urban developments to date. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. and all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
All the local news and all the great music.
On your sound, your community.
Alive 90.5.
I got control. 25 minutes past 12, live 90.5, yeah. Business Insights with Mario.
And with us in studio is a very special guest, very unique guest to all business owners, to all entrepreneurs, and anybody who is considering to import some goods and the equipment or any type of the products in Australia. We have the answer for you. COVID-19, as you know, like, it's caused a lot of disruptions around the globe, and as well the shipping and the freight industry, including the cargo, air cargo, it's been as well as disrupted. However, our expert in studio, Lance Scholar, he's going to answer to us some very difficult questions, and we are glad we have him in the studio. Now, I was just Googling, you know, as Dr. Google, what's the top 10 inputs in Australia? Number one, machinery. Second, mineral fuels, vehicles, electrical machinery equipment, medical technical equipment, pharmaceutical goods, germs, and precious metals. This is the 10 top inputs in Australia. Now, we are in this pandemic, this crisis right now, and Australia is an island nation, and no question asked, Australia producing, manufacturing some things, particularly agricultural way, and we exporting things. But when it comes to the importing in Australia, now, if I want to do business in Australia, now I want to import a lot of Nutellas for me, Darren, open the shop.
Yeah.
What would you tell me what to do now with my business and I want to import Nutella?
Do a lot. So I've got what I call the essential seven facets of importing and exporting. The first one is research and planning. Now, you can't plan till you've done your research. And there's a number of things you need to research. You need to research first, if I'm going to buy something, who do I buy it from?
So, like, you know, we need to match, you know, our desire. There's a product we want to import, actually, it's desirable on the market by the clients, the consumers.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, is there a market, first of all?
Yeah.
So you need to, is there a market? And the product that you choose, if you're thinking about, you might have a few products you're thinking, maybe I'll research those three or four, then is there any problems to, one, get them out of the country of origin? You might be looking at a number of countries to
to import,
source them.
Yeah.
Is there a problem getting them out of that country? And is there a problem getting into my country? We're talking Australia here, but it could be any country wherever you are. Of course, the rules and regulations of both countries, the seller's country, the buyer's, may have issues with that particular product.
I don't think that we want to import some white goods in. I mean white powders. We're talking about like
talcum powder.
Yeah, talcum powder. Yeah, that's great. Soda bicarbonate and salt. But let's just say, like, I want to import Nutella from Italy because we know it's some Italian's manufactured Nutella. So you're telling our listeners that they should be aware, first of all, there are the needs for the people in Australia to eat Nutella. I'm just saying Nutella, like any type of, you know, product. But then you're saying that there's as well, there's no mutual understanding between the countries of origin where you're buying and the country you importing, your original country. Mm. So who set up this, you know, who understand? How do they know that Australia has nothing against, you know, me bringing a lot of Nutellas?
So first thing would, because it's an edible product.
Yeah.
You'd have to look at the labelling on the product. Maybe it's in Italian because they haven't created English language labels. Yeah. So you might have to pay them to have labels. Secondly, you'd have to look at the food. Regulations is this product.
There's a lot of regulations, you know. I mean, that's not so simple.
Australia's probably one of the highest regulated countries in the world.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it depends on how you're looking at it. If you're trying to protect people from different things, that's good. If you're trying to do a business, it's not so good.
Did you watch, Darren, that show, Border Security Australia?
I love that show.
Yeah, well, you know, that's now dating last year on the travels, because this year we have no travels. But you know, when they come to biosecurity and the people open a suitcase, right? And we just seeing, you know, I mean, different nationalities that bring, you know, some they bring the food, some bring the seeds and the soil, and they're like jumping on distance, like,
yep.
That's very interesting. And I mean, it's like, it's more Australia very protective over the nature, you know, I mean, of the ecological cycle in Australia. Is that the way you see as well?
Yeah, and I think you need to protect your biosecurity, because if any sort of disease, and we know a lot of diseases that are out there that can bring havoc to, say, primary production and or even our forestries and things like that, it could be devastating for Australia. So it's good that they keep on top of those things. And I know I was watching one of those shows last week, and they brought in, I think it was defrosted fish and things like that, and clams and whatever, and the bag was stinking, and the biosecurity officers nearly passing out from the stench. So it's unbelievable what some people try and do.
Well, that's interesting. So, like, we need, so Australia's most regulated country, which is good, you know, I mean, in terms of protect their own market and the livelihood of the citizens, which is very good. So what's the next step?
Well, actually, to bring up biosecurity, my mind flew back a number of years when I was actually working for Austrade, the Australian Trade and Investment Commission.
Yeah.
And I was in the process of signing up a client out on the other side of the Hawkesbury River that was importing horses, Andalusians from Spain, and miniature horses from the USA. She'd already paid for the Andalusian horses. They were about to be shipped, and then we had a problem with Australian. Some horse came into Sydney, went out to Eastern Creek
quarantine, right?
It had equine influenza, and that went through the horse community, and that stopped a lot of businesses in horses, and I think it stopped the Melbourne Cup, if I remember rightly.
Wow.
Really?
So that's an example of one thing coming in and wasn't correctly inspected, and it just went like a coronavirus in a sense.
Yeah.
So that's these are...
So it's a lot of elements actually to the research and particularly the legislations.
Exactly. Sure.
But as well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have the product in, I don't know, in any part of the world, and we know that market wants this. We need to make sure that it's going to pass the customer and the biosecurity as well, because the Australian government can say, like, yeah, that's a beautiful, but you can't import this because it's going to destroy us. So, like, the good ideas not necessarily mean it's going to be good for the rest of the country.
Exactly. So, to give you another angle on that, so if you were importing, say, wooden furniture from the Philippines or even from Europe, you'd have to have those goods fumigated overseas before they came, or if they did come here, they would have to be fumigated before they could be bring out, because they could bring in disease. I don't think it's a problem now, but it used to be Sorex wasp from Europe, and it's a pest, and it could be embedded in the thing. So wooden products coming in from overseas are a real thing to be careful of. You need to understand what needs to be done before they come in, or if they do come in, what the cost is of fumigation.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what's the next step? You talk about the research.
Yep, so research.
Risks, of course, you know what I mean?
So part of the research is the risk, and I have a acronym called CASTLE, C-A-S-T-L-E. You know what a castle is, don't you? It's a big building or a group of buildings surrounded by battlements. You know, it's a fortress.
Yeah.
And I won't go into the full story, but I now use that as my tagline for what I do for clients. A castle there is built by, you know, a king or a knight or whatever in the day.
Somebody who has the money.
And to protect, care for, and guide. So it's a little village in a fortified situation. So they've got to care for the people in there. They've got to protect them from the outside forces, the attackers.
Yeah.
And for those that might be out in the fields when the attackers come, they've got to the big flags up on the top is mm-hmm. to guide people. This is where you come to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Get the idea? Mm-hmm. So my castle strategy is that for importers and exporters. The C is for credit risk. In other words, the seller needs to get paid. So we've got sellers and buyers in the process. A is assignment risk. Assignment is transference of something from one person to another. So from the seller to the buyer, assignment. Now, there's rules and regulations. I talked about that before. There may be rules and regulations for the seller and also for the buyer. It actually may be prohibited. If I wanted to sell Aboriginal artefacts, I would have to get permission to do that from the government because there's rules and regulations about sending goods out of Australia that are actually, you know, heritage, that sort of thing. Got the idea there?
Mm, yeah.
So on the other side, coming into the country, there might be rules and regulations like we talked about already. So that's the assignment risk. S is the supply risk. If you bought your fridge or fridges, those 20 fridges came in and you opened the doors at your warehouse facility to unload them and there was 10,000 Chinese yellow pages books, you wouldn't be happy, would you?
Not at
no.
all.
Right? So the supply risk, do I get what I ordered or is someone going to defraud me? By paying for something.
That's interesting. What is like, we don't see those risks.
Another example, not the same, if I ordered red pens, and I had this situation with a client up in Queensland, they ordered red pens, let's say, to supply to the Department of Education of Queensland, to schools. When they came in, there were blue pens, right? It was the same product, just a different colour, not the colour that they wanted. So you see a problem? So there's things we can talk about if we get to it to guard against these things. So that's, we've gone C, A, S. Now we come to T for transport risk. So the possible loss or damage of goods during transit, whether it's a truck delivering it to the wharf in China, we talked about, whether it's the ship that loses containers often. There was a 2 months ago, I think it is now, a ship called the APL England off the coast of New South Wales lost a number of containers, about 50, and others were haphazardly hanging off the side of the ship.
And that's rough seas or something like that, yeah.
It was rough seas, but it was actually badly packed.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they actually took it back to Brisbane. I wondered why, but I think it was the last port of call. They took it back there and they had to sort of do a whole stack. The guy actually, the captain of the ship, was actually charged with offences. They let him go, but he had to return to
so,
go through
so
a court
situation.
So it's
like if I might go on holidays and I might badly pack my trailer and have to stop and go to the petrol station and fix up the tarp.
Yeah, exactly.
He did that, but in a much bigger scale.
Huge.
And that's so a huge transport risk.
There is, and people think these days, you know, containers, oh, they're safe, they're big ships, whatever. There's no... you know,
well, they're quite open, aren't they? Except for the containers, because
the containers
they stack
are on
them
the
high.
Top.
Yeah,
yeah.
So lots of things can happen.
So that's transport risk.
And we've got L.
L is for legal risk. So, like you might buy some Prada stuff from overseas, and Prada in Australia has actually listed with customs that they have the rights to that product and nobody else, and then someone checks it out and all of a sudden you've lost your goods because you haven't got the rights to import them into Australia because Prada has actually taken out, through the proper channels to protect their brand name.
So that's a very high risk, but you're talking about it later in the chain, but it's something that should be very important because if you don't have the rights to sell it, you wouldn't go through everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to waste all that money.
I'm just giving up on importing Nutella. I just want to buy it in a
shop. We've got one more risk. One more risk. What's E?
Exchange risk.
What is that?
Exchange risk is if it can go for your benefit, but the adverse exchange risk is if I buy in US dollars and paying Australian dollars to buy those US dollars, and the the exchange rate changes adversely, then I'll pay. So I was overseas in Italy for a month, came back, must have been 2007, I think it was, and the Australian dollar had come to parity with the US dollar, but it dived down. I got out of the airport. I think my daughter picked me up. We're going listening to the news. And the exchange rate was 63 cents to the Australian, to the American dollar. And I had a client who I contacted out of Penrith, and he said, I've bought this machine to build, produce these products, and it was like $40,000 Australian, let's say.
Yeah.
But now it's $60,000 because of the exchange risk, that sort of thing. Yeah, get the idea?
Yeah. And in that thing, sorry, that's a question. If I buy something, does it come to exchange or the rates? Is there any help there for somebody?
Yeah, all these things, all these risks I've talked about, there's ways to mitigate to reduce them.
Okay.
So for the exchange rate, you can buy forward exchange cover through primarily banks, but you can go to other financial institutions.
Yeah.
So you can forward exchange, you say, let's say it's the bank says, for that, $40,000, we'll lock it in at this rate, and you pay when you go to pay it. That's what you'll pay to buy those currencies.
I tried to do this
with
my mortgage, but the interest rate is changing. And I mean, you're listening on Line 90.5 Business with Mario, and our guest in studio, Lance Scola, who's guiding us to the input export secrets. Stay with us, Line 90.5 Business with Darren and Mario.
Alive 90.5.
When you've got to choose, every way you look. Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Melrose Park, developed by Pace, is one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects, providing new homes, jobs, retailing, parks and open spaces, and community facilities. Located around 6 kilometres east of Parramatta, Melrose Park is considered to be one of Sydney's next property hotspots. For more information on this exciting project, go to www.melrosepark.com.au. Station sponsor Pace, transforming places since 1978.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 270 New Line Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
One, you're on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario.
Oh, thank you, Daniel, very much, and thank you to all our listeners, particularly sponsors of this wonderful radio station. And you know why it's a wonderful station, because we bring you the unsung business heroes who inspire you, empower you with their tips and insights. And today with us in studio is Lance Scholar, the man who knows how to import-export, of course, legally in Australia, because we are talking about importing Nutella, which is going to be forbidden because it's putting fat in. I mean, I'm going to be the first one to say Nutella is great, but it should be banned because, unfortunately, it's something I'm battling, you know, for many years now. But now, Lance, we heard your strategy behind the Castle International Trade Risk, which you said as a credit risk, assignment risk, supply risk, transport risk, legal risk, and exchange risks. Now, world before the COVID-19 was a full of shipments, a lot of import and export. And then suddenly, but not overnight, you know, I mean, things started changing. Did you notice that anything, you know, I mean, something unusual prior to COVID or like during the COVID, you know, COVID started, that things going to be slowed down for everybody of us?
Yeah, so I'm not active in the industry these days. So I've retired, not really retired, but I'm not active in the industry. But I'm in touch with a few people in the industry, people that are very active and knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But I also thought, well, if you know, China went into lockdown, for want of a better word, and that obviously meant reduction in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, so much of the goods
has been manufactured in China. A lot of businesses, actually, not just Australia, a lot of global businesses is in China.
Even, like, I think BMW makes their cars in China.
Lucky, you see, like I said, Darren, Nutella, we know what's coming from, you know what I mean? We don't jeopardize some products, but yes, please.
So that became a supply problem because people couldn't get their products out because they weren't being manufactured because they're, you know, they've been forced by the government to stop. So that then meant that ships that were normally going there on a regular basis, and there were hundreds if not thousands of ships going in and out all the time, they had to sort of, what do we do now? And then they sort of repositioned themselves to say, well, we need to try and work with other countries. And then other countries got into situations where COVID had come in.
Yeah.
So it then became a huge issue. So, as you know, a lot of the airlines are now grounded. they're not flying. There's some, but not many planes that are actually flying. Therefore, passengers aren't moving. But under passengers on any air flight, there's cargo.
Yeah, but this is what I'm asking. You know what I was thinking, Darren? The plane's big, you know, I mean, I feel myself like you can't fill the entire A380 Airbus, you know, I mean, just with the suitcases. It doesn't make a sense. And then actually I realized, you know, like I was watching a few times on air, but it's like they're bringing some containers inside, but I was thinking it's a food, but it's not a food. It is something in
it's a cargo.
Yeah, it's a cargo.
It's Nutella coming over.
Yeah, like, well, that's the most proper way to come in Australia by plane because it's a fresh, you know, I mean, who's going to wait on a ship, you know, Nutella to come? So, yeah, please continue, Lance.
So, air freight is often used just in time. So, fresh produce. So, in Australia, in the reverse situation, because China had shut down, Australian exporters of seafood, vegetables, lamb, meat, steaks, that might be frozen, but they're, you know, they're to be got to the consumer into China as other places as well, just in time so they can get onto the restaurants, table. So that's been a big issue for Australia. They've had this great policy of exporting of fresh food overseas, so that's stopped that happening. But there's also other issues. You know, a lot of I'm doing some work with a training issue with a company that was German based, but they're into mining equipment and automotive equipment, and they basically would not stock their parts for when their clients had some problem, they would just air freight it. Yeah. It was quicker. Instead of having stock sitting on the shelves with cobwebs on it, they would do it by air freight because it's only going to take you less, you know, than, say, 48 hours to get it there. So that's another issue that people can't get there just in time now because the planes aren't flying.
Yeah, well, Australia has a big advantage, which is Ireland, and disadvantage because everything comes as an input. But, you know, in terms of not just the freights, I was reading something down the other day, a very interesting statistic. There's a 250,000 sailors on the ocean. Mm. I mean, we're talking about ships, you know, I mean, that oil tankers and everything else. Nobody wants them, you know, I mean, they can't go back in the port. And I think myself, like, what do you mean they can't go in a port because they're considered a high risk, you know what I mean? So, like, it's all happening. You know, when the COVID started and then suddenly I saw on the TV in a port somewhere in California was hundreds of ships with the oil. They didn't know what to do with the oil, you know what I mean, because they were, you know what I mean, importing in the U.S. So imagine being on some of those ships and somebody says to you, like, you can't come in because you're like, you're an oil tanker. It's like, no, we can't get you in. Yeah, we don't know. You know,
we don't want oil because we're driving less because we're all isolated. Yeah. And then also we don't want your sailors because they probably got COVID as well.
Yeah,
so you have to stay out there and do nothing and we don't care about you. You think, oh, hang on, that's pretty pretty bad for them.
Yeah, because the demand and supply. I say I know that Nutella has been supplied. I can see in shops. You know, seriously, I take this as an example because honestly, I was afraid. It's like, oh my God, if Nutella start missing from the, you know what I mean? Okay, I still have the strawberry jam, but you know, that's not good enough, you know what I mean? But we take a short break.
Let's take a short break.
You're listening live, 90.5. Business with Mario and our guest in studio, Lance Scola. Darren and I will take you to the short break. Current time it is, Darren, number 12 something.
It's 6 minutes to one.
6 minutes to one. We've come back for the short break. Thank you for listening live, 90.5.
Alive 90.5.
Seems you've been changing lately. I can feel the distance in your touch. There's two people in this hallway, but there's only one of us that's trying to keep this fire going. Should I just give up? I sense trouble on the horizon. I'm afraid our time is up. The clouds are rolling and I feel you drifting away. And though my intuition tells me that it's too late, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain. I still want to make you love me again. Even though my intuition tells me that it's the end, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match.
impossible to save. Though you embrace it, I can't face it, so I look the other way. There's trouble in your eyes, but I pretend that we're okay. I wish that we could compromise, but there's just nothing left to say. The clouds are rolling and I feel you drifting away. And though my intuition tells me that it's too late, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain. I still want to make you love me, make you love me. In the rain, like flying a kite in a hurricane, like riding a bike with no air chain. On a broken road, it's a losing game. Trying to light a match in the rain, like flying a kite in a hurricane, like riding a bike with no air chain. On a broken road, it's a losing game.
The clouds are rolling and I feel you drifting away. And though my intuition tells me that it's too late, that in these conditions trying to bring back the flame is like trying to light a match in the rain.
Concise Finance is a nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
We all know that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral? With none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance, $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02 9659 0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
This is Graham Davidson inviting you to journey with me on the Soul Train on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on Alive 90.5 for the best in soul, R&B, funk, southern and jazz rock sounds. The Soul Train on Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
One, two, three.
Two in three child car seats are not being used properly. And if you don't put your child in their car seat correctly, they're seven times more likely to sustain life-threatening injuries in the event of a crash. They're counting on you. Make sure your child is safe. Find out at childcarseats.com.au. A message from the New South Wales Government.
Every Friday night from 9 turns back the clock to remember those classic hits of the 50s.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
60s.
Happy along.
And the 70s. Join Kara McGay as she relives the music of three great decades. Great jukebox memories. Some tried to stop it.
Rock and roll has got to go.
Most of us loved it.
Paul McCartney.
Jukebox Jive. Every Friday night from 9 on FM 90.5.
It's all I listen to. Alive 90.5. Playing cool music.
And now on Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shannon Kirkwood. The coronavirus outbreak in Victoria has claimed the lives of another three people as new infections reach a record high in Australia. 400